smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Tonight we celebrate the fourth anniversary of our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music by Peter Van Steeden and another big amateur contest. New music, new voices, new laughs with Fred Allen. It's Town Hall tonight. Listen to that crowd cheer as Fred Allen leads his parade to the old Town Hall. Fred's carrying a big bass drum and the crowd's trying to beat it as the Mighty Allen Art players come into sight. Let's follow the swinging song. Everybody swing to the old Town Hall. Everybody join. Here they come, society leaders.
We're in society, Ethel, and you've got to attend the opera.
Society can't drag me away from this radio, Chauncey. It's Town Hall tonight.
Truth serum subject.
When the truth serum works, madam, you'll tell us your favorite radio program.
I don't need serum to tell you that, doctor. It's Town Hall tonight.
Kitties.
Are you sick, Rollo Fink, refusing another piece of pie?
I'm sick of my dessert at the radio, Ma. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, sir, here we are before the old Town Hall, and there's Fred welcoming the crowd with jest and jive. Let's listen.
Happy days are here again, folks, and happy nights are guaranteed at the old Town Hall. Keep a single line, please.
Evening, Mr. Allen.
Hi there, Mrs. Blue. How
is it? Hey, is this the rodeo, mister?
No, son, this isn't the rodeo.
Then why don't you quit throwing the bull around?
That's what they all say, friends. Let's hurry, hurry, hurry.
Well, you better hurry, Fred. We're all set.
Okay, Harry, the first number, Sing Baby Sing.
We're off. Let her go, Peter.
Don't like music.
Presenting without further fol-de-rol or rannikazoo, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Harry. I don't mind being presented without fol-de-rol, but I insist on further rannikazoo if you can arrange it. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before you get up and start to picket your radios for the next hour, now, look, just let me read you the Town Hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, the first grocer to put hives in his store for homeless vitamin Bs, says that you boys hanging around the meat counter have got to quit fooling with the hamburger machine. Somebody put the machine in reverse Monday night, and it's been backfiring hamburgers around the store all week. Hodge says, fun is fun, boys, but meat is high enough without having to scrape it off the ceiling. So much for the Salisbury spray around, around the village. And now for the Town Hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Coming right down, Fred.
Thank you. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Radio City, New York. Fred Allen, a radio comedian in certain states, celebrates fourth anniversary on the air. Town Hall News shows Mr. Allen blowing out the four candles on Plaster of Paris birthday cake presented to him by admirers. Mr. Allen blows. New Haven, Connecticut. Dr. H.W. Haggard, Yale physiologist, claims that eating between meals peps up office workers and enables them to do more work. Town Hall News shows what offices may be like if eating during business hours is stressed. The scene? The office of Titan Fluke, the toothpick magnet.
Good morning, Mr. Fluke.
Oh, no greetings, Miss Type, until I've had my morning snack.
Didn't you have breakfast?
I had buckwheat cakes and sausage at home. You know that has nothing to do with the office.
Yes, sir. I put a baked apple on your desk.
Good, I'll bolt it down.
Feel better?
Now my business day is officially started. Good morning, Miss Type.
Good morning, Mr. Fluke.
That baked apple hit the spot. Take a letter.
Yes, sir.
Department of Patents, Washington, D.C., gentlemen. I'm enclosing new model expanding toothpick for people with buck teeth. I'm floating a $2 million stock issue immediately. Rush this expanding toothpick patent and apply yours, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, sir.
Take that phone call.
Yes, sir. Fluke Expanding Toothpick Company. Yes, Mr. Fluke is here.
Oh, but I'm in no condition to answer the phone now. I exhausted my calorie energy dictating that letter. I feel faint.
Oh, quick, there's a chocolate eclair in my handbag.
Oh, good. Hold the line. I'll come through.
Hello? Mr. Fluke won't be a second. Hurry, Mr. Fluke. How do you feel?
Tip-top. Give me that receiver. Hello, National Bank. Yes, this is Titan Fluke. About that $2 million. Yes, for the expanding toothpick deal. Well, didn't Higgins see you? If I don't get that $2 million, I'm sunk. You let me know in 10 minutes? Okay.
I thought you had the money, Mr. Fluke.
My Vice President Higgins was supposed to fix it. Buster Higgins.
Yes, sir.
And put on that percolator. If my temper rises, I'll need some caffeine reserve.
Yes, sir. I'll get some canapes, too.
You sent for me, Mr. Fluke?
Now, look here, Higgins.
Oh, if this is a tongue lashing, sir, I'd better have a sandwich. I've got to feel myself.
One cheese combo, Miss Type.
Yes, sir. Coffee, Mr. Higgins?
Yes, I just finished a committee meeting. My hormones are rebelling.
Here we are.
Higgins, you were instructed to get me $2 million from the National Bank.
Yes, I went over there, but I forgot to take my conference box lunch.
Didn't you see the bank president?
Yes, but without my vitamin reserve, I didn't have strength enough to ask him for the money.
Haven't I warned all you vice presidents to carry beef tubes for these emergencies?
Yes, sir. I feel terrible.
Another cup of coffee or a canapé, Mr. Higgins?
Oh, thank you.
You feel thoroughly refreshed now?
Oh, yes, sir.
Fine, Higgins, you're fired.
Well, I...
Thanks to you, I still need $2 million. If the bank doesn't come through, the expanding toothpick company is a bust.
Yes, it's all my fault, sir. I'll go.
Yes, Higgins, go. And, Higgins.
Yes, sir?
You're not working here now. Put back that canapé.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is enervating. Give me another cup of coffee, Miss Type.
Yes, sir.
If the bank refuses that loan...
Oh, that's the bank now, sir.
Hello? Yes, this is Fluke. What? You won't give me the $2 million? Oh,
Mr. Fluke.
I'm ruined. If I had the strength, I'd jump out the window.
Here, take this tomato juice.
Thank you, Miss Type. Goodbye.
New York City, New York. Town Hall News brings an advanced preview of the biggest theatrical opening of the season. On Thursday night, October 22nd, the George Kaufman Edna Ferber play, Stage Door, opens at the Music Box Theater, the Stage Door. From the theater to the cinema, Town Hall News brings you a 10-second review of the outstanding motion picture of the week. The picture, The Devil is a Sissy.
Are you Satan?
Whoop!
Once again, the town... and again, once again, the Town Hall News scoops the world. The latest results in the Town Hall presidential poll. This week, not the straw vote, but the alfalfa vote from the entire South shows the Dangle Wilkin candidate...
Owen Cart, Bruce Jacobs at 7.
The Rendell Hessen candidate...
Well, you can all listen to the end of the matter for Russia.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Say, Harry,
yes.
We ought to keep that door over there closed, you know?
Well, why, Fred?
Say, who is this fella coming with the Turkish towel draped over his brow?
Sir, I am Swami Magzodiac, the great interpreter of dreams.
Well, what a fortunate coincidence. You know, just last night I dreamed of eyebrows, and I've been wondering all day what it meant.
Oh, any Loman, sahib. Dreaming of eyebrows denotes that you will encounter dire obstacles in your immediate future.
Well, maybe it was a mustache. I don't know. You know how confusing dreams are.
I certainly do. And just between ourselves, my friend, I'm often confused about their meanings, too. One dream I've never been able to interpret is the dream of beautiful teeth.
Then stop where you are, my good friend. Here's where we can help you. How about it, Harry?
Certainly we can, Fred, because beautiful teeth are not a dream. They're a reality. You can have lovely teeth if you'll give them the care and attention they need. See your dentist frequently. Use Ipana regularly. For Ipana is the toothpaste designed not only to clean and brighten teeth, but also to help tone and stimulate your gums. And your gums need stimulation, ladies and gentlemen, to help guard against serious gum trouble. That's why so many dentists advise this.
Brush your teeth with Ipana, and each time put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage your gums with it.
And in that way, you'll help your gums to become firmer and healthier, your teeth whiter and brighter, and your smile far more attractive. So remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
And the Ipana Troubadours have just played the Jerome Kern hit from Swing Time, Bojangles of Harlem. Now, on Friday night, Mrs. Crouton Simmer, the Pulitzer Cooking Authority, will lecture here at the Town Hall. Mrs. Simmer's talk is called Morals and Food, or Should the Lamb Chop Wear Something Knitted Under Those Paper Pants? Now, on Saturday... On Saturday afternoon,
Mr.
there will be...
Howard!
Quiet, please, if you will. Things are...
Hello!
See, of all people, well, sir, they laughed when my wallet fell into the incinerator. They didn't know I had money to burn. Oh, if it isn't Portland.
Oh, you couldn't keep me away tonight.
Hey, what's tonight, Wednesday?
Not only that, but tonight's your anniversary. You've been on the radio 4 years.
Well, so what?
Something's bound to happen.
Huh?
You don't think that people are going to take your anniversary lying down, do you?
Well, most people take their radio shows lying down.
I know, and sleeping.
Now, look, nobody knows I've been on the air 4 years but you. If you keep quiet about it, maybe it'll blow over.
Oh, I won't say anything, but I've got a funny feeling that something is going to happen. I told you, the knocking is starting already.
Come in.
Telegrams for Mr. Allen.
I'll take them, boy.
They're collect, miss.
Oh, they're for you, Mr. Allen.
How much are they, son?
Three telegrams, $4.
Your fourth anniversary and $4. That's a coincidence.
$4 to me isn't a coincidence. It's a calamity. Well, here you are, boy.
Thanks, mister. Ouch! Ouch!
What's the matter?
You're standing on the messenger boy's beard, Portland. Get over it. Thank you, son. Collect.
Who are the telegrams from, Mr. Allen?
Well, you can read them here. Open them up. What does that first one say?
Good luck, buddy. The first 4 years are the hardest.
Who's it from?
Al Capone.
Nice of Al to remember me with things going on. What's the next one there?
It's from Chicago. Yeah. It says, just learned you have been on the air 4 years. I've been blaming the stockyard.
Who sent that?
It's signed a friend.
Oh, well, that's all right. Say, I wouldn't take that from a stranger.
This last wire says, you have my sympathy. I know what it means to be out of the public eye for 4 years.
Who's that from?
John N. Garner, Vice President.
No word from Judge Crater, eh?
That's all there is.
Well, if there isn't any more, I guess you'll be going.
Oh, no, I've got a surprise for your anniversary.
Now, look, I've been
surprised. Mr. Beasley!
Oh, Mr. Beasley,
coming, dear girl, on the stain as well?
On the stain? You don't mean on the spot by any chance, do you?
Quite right, so I do. On the ruddy spot, so to speak.
Where's Rodney, Mr. Beasley?
Rodney, get a tumble on some.
That's it, old pig-eye. You're too sweet for me.
Say, if you two guys are looking for Noel Coward, this isn't the valet rehearsal. It's down on the left.
You're not trying to start anything, are you, Mr. Allen?
I say, if he's a smart Alexander, I shall quell him.
Now, listen, you male Shirley Temple. Don't get my spleen perking. I'll bounce insults around your head till you think your ears are caught in a stevedore's mouth.
I say I can't talk or swallow.
You've got your monocle in your mouth, Mr. Beasley.
Oh, yes, I have short arms. I can't reach my eye.
Peter has to stand on tiptoe to wax his moustache.
With that laugh.
Yes, he must have been weaned on hyena milk, I guess.
Mark your slang, extenuated Maltese.
What is that, extenuated Maltese?
I think Rodney is calling you long puss, Mr. Allen.
Rather, he's a lengthy pussy.
Wait a minute. I'm no Indian in the rain, but I'm throwing a wet blanket on this barbecue right now.
Mr. Beasley and Rodney are here to study our American football cheers,
oh.
Mr. Dallas.
Rather, our English soccer and cricket cheers are too subdued.
Oh, definitely. We're going to import some of your raucous American college yells.
You're
going to
import some of them,
yes,
eh?
Sir.
How do you give out over there?
Give him the Nottingham Rouser, Peter.
Very well. Tea and crumpet, toast and jam, bowl them, gold them, Nottingham. Zephyr, Zephyr, Zephyr.
That sounds like a pallbearer calling his mate, isn't
it? Brother! Peter's a little timid, but I have captured your American fervor.
Bravo, Rodney. Give us one of your puppy tears.
Righto. Raw. 3 times. Who are we? We're not telling, definitely. Are we in it? Don't be silly. I say let's win for Piccadilly. Carry on.
Bravo, Rodney!
That's swell, Rodney. That raw 3 times.
You bet. That'll give insomnia a run for supremacy over there.
Oh, well, after all, that's merely our cricket shout.
Rather, for soccer, we have something more blatant.
What is your soccer cheer, Mr. Beasley?
No, it's a slaughter. Let her rip, Peter.
Righto. Stand back. Hold that leopard. Hold that leopard. Boom, chigga, boom. It's really essential that you restrain that leopard. Two horses.
the two horses.
What is that, two horses?
That's team, Mr. Allen.
And the fist and the boom and the boom.
Now, wait a minute. You haven't heard anything yet. Let me get my coat off.
What are you going to do, Mr. Allen?
If you want to hear some cheering, wait till I throw these guys out.
Wait for me,
Mr. Beasley.
So long, Cortland.
Sally. Ho.
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight they reach into their musical album and drag out a song called Picture 84. All right, boys, Picture 84.
On a pleasant day in summer, at the Central Station door, stopped a carriage with a couple, outside seeing nothing more. Then the gray-haired superintendent kindly showed them through the place. First of all, the great rogues gallery, where they gazed on many a face.
Characters of all descriptions, some were famous men of crime. Some were dead and some at freedom. Some of them were serving time.
Each had stories interesting as the man explained them all. But the woman faded when she gazed on picture 84. 'Twas the picture of her father there among the men of crime. Though now a man of honor, still it tells of other times. Though he lives in style and splendor, worth a million now or more, still his picture's in the gallery.
Be spoken.
Listen, I will tell the story, then the superintendent said. Years ago, before your mother to your father, child, was wed, she had a brother, rash and wayward. Foolishly, he forged a check, and the single act of folly threatened all his life to wreck. Then your father's noble nature rose to shield her brother's name. For the sake of her he loved so, he took upon himself the blame. He gave himself then up to justice. 'Twas I who forged the check, said he, and spent weary years in prison that your uncle might be free.
Chorus, fellas.
'Twas the picture of her father there among the men of crime. Though now a man of honor, still it tells of other times. Though he lives in style and splendor, worth a million now or more, still his picture's in the gallery.
Gentlemen, thank you. And thank you, boys. It's mighty nice to be able to end your day with a song, if I may coin a phrase.
And if I may coin one too, Fred, it's even nicer to start the day with a song. And I can pass along a friendly tip, ladies and gentlemen, to help you do that. Whenever you wake up feeling headachy, grouchy, and under the weather, put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. Because Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative made especially to do 2 things. To remove waste from the body, and also to help nature combat acidity. 2 things that usually make you feel dull and logy and under par. Physicians have been recommending Sal Hepatica for more than 40 years. You know why when you see how quickly you feel alert, alive, and normal again. If you remember Sal Hepatica.
for the smile of health. Well, there's that theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight, these artists, who have turned their gallery gods into atheists, present a rural uncut gem entitled Murder at Cupcake County, or The Great Hillbilly Trial. Overture, Peter.
Rise, Rubes. His Honor, Judge Allen.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
I object.
Objection overruled. I said order in the court.
I object.
Who's making that fuss down there?
I am. Somebody's trying to give me a hot foot, and I object.
Well, stomp your shoes and squat.
Well, I ain't a-wearing shoes, Judge. I'm getting a hot foot between the toes.
Well, braid your toes and sit down. What's the first case?
Mr. and Mrs. Hector Fry charges fighting.
Are you guilty or not guilty, Hector?
Hold it, Judge. I'm the sheriff.
Oh, I can't see who's who here. Where's my glasses?
Ain't they on the bench?
Oh, I can't see nothing here. Wait till I feel around.
Oh, why, Jim.
Sorry, lady. I'm looking for my glasses.
Well, they ain't in my bustle.
Here they are. I'll put them on. What's this running down my cheek, Sheriff?
You're putting on two inkwells.
Well, I'll be teetotally extinctified. Well, Lord, looks like night court in here now.
Hey, here's some glasses. Are these yours, Judge?
These are my little glasses. These are glasses I put on to hunt for my looking glasses. Oh, here they be. First case.
Mr. and Mrs. Hector Fry fighting.
Guilty or not guilty, Hector?
Guilty, but I got my reasons.
Did you start the fighting, Mrs. Fry?
No, but I was aiming to finish it.
Why, I'll cane you silly, Jezebel.
You do, and I'll hide your rejuvenating pills.
You do.
Order in the court. How long you two been hitched?
50 years.
You been scrapping like this 50 years?
No, this here's the first fight we had since we've been married, Judge.
Yeah, connubial always been listening.
Sure has, Jack. We've been holding hands since the day we was married.
Well, dog frog McGrog, you been a holding hands? You been a holding hands for 50 years?
Right.
What started the fighting?
She let go.
Oh, I never.
Clear the court. Clear the court. Case dismissed. Next case, Fenton Dud.
Present here.
Fenton, you're charged here with fixing to whistle on the Sabbath.
Not guilty, Judge.
Charge says you was caught red-lipped, forming your mouth purposely with intent to exhale melody.
Well, I had a hangover, Judge. My throat was dry as a temperance sermon.
What's that got to do with your mouth being in piccolo formation on the Sabbath?
I was priming my lips to spit.
Okay. Case dismissed. That brings us down to the big murder case, don't it, Sheriff?
Yep. People of Cupcake County versus Fester Purdy. Charge is murder.
Guilty, not guilty, Fester.
Reckon it were self-defense, Judge.
You got any witnesses, Fester?
I got me a snarl of them, Judge.
Stand down. First witness.
Sally Frump.
You swear to tell the whole truth? Put your hand on the book, Sally.
What book?
Where's the book, Sheriff? You know we was having a murder trial today. I told you to stop by the hotel on your way to court and loan the book.
Well, they wouldn't let me take her, Judge.
Why not?
The night clerk pressing some flowers. He said you could hold off that child tomorrow.
Justice ain't marking time while I'm on the nostrum, Sheriff. Sally, you can swear on this here Sears Roebuck catalog.
Ain't fur it, Judge.
It's fur it if I'm so decreeing, and I'm so decreeing.
Well, I put my left hand on the catalog.
Okie dokie. Now, You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you, FOB Chicago?
I do.
Take it away.
Well, I run Sally's Pantry.
What's that, a tailor shop?
No. It's a restaurant near the post office, open all night and stools for ladies.
You're testifying, not testimonialing, sister. Now you get on with the murder.
Well, Fester and this traveling salesman was sitting at the same table.
What come off?
I didn't see nothing. I heard a shot. When I turned around, the salesman was dead, and the house was stuck with a 40-cent check.
Next witness.
Leif McGee.
You see the doings, Leif?
Yep. Fester picked the salesman in self-defense, Judge. Fester's got a temper.
State the facts.
Well, Fester was a fan of his oatmeal with his hat. He'd blow the cellophane off on the dude's big Newtons, and they had words.
Yeah?
Along about the shank of the 40-cent lunch, they both reached for the ketchup bottle. They had words again.
Then
the dude pulled a dagger on Fester. They had words again. Then Fester fired.
They have words again?
Fester had words.
The dude pulled a weapon, did he?
Well, if he did.
Got a character witness there, Sheriff. I got to check up on Fester's temper.
Fester's brass here. Stand up, filthy.
Yes, Judge.
You are kin to Fester Purdy's son.
He's my paw, Judge, but I ain't bragging on it.
Your paw got a temper, son?
Paw's 9 parts snake and 1 part skunk, Judge.
Is he mean?
Why, Paw's so mean he greases the hen's beak so they can't pick up no corn in the hen house.
Your paw stingy?
Paw's so tight when he opens his mouth his toes curl up.
Summing up, he ain't no Leslie Howard.
Why, Paw's so low, if his hair was green, you couldn't tell it from grass.
Well, that gives us a hangnail description, son. Who's next witness?
Fanny Swayze, waitress at Sally's Pantry.
You seen the murder, Fanny?
Calling it a murder's loose talking, Jack.
What happened?
Well, Fester was a-setting alone at-eating when this dude came in.
How'd you know he was a dude?
He was wearing yellow button shoes and had a zipper on to his vest.
Well, might have been a movie star.
Movie stars don't carry sample cases, Jed.
Some of them ought to.
Well, the dude sat at Fester's table, and when I come over with the menu, I seen he was on the maid.
What'd he say?
He said, oh, you kid. You do, I says.
What'd he say to that?
Well, he kept up a running fire of double intending. Does your mother know you're out, like, he says. But I come right back with 46 for you.
What's 46 for you?
It's 23 for you in double talk.
When did the shooting start?
Long about the tag end of the 40-cent special.
Long about the slaw, hey?
That's right, yes. The dude ordered Ozark caviar.
Ozark caviar? What's that?
It's beans, Jed. I served them with cornbread and a knife. Well, the dude started eating, and Fester started laughing.
That done it.
And how? The dude unzipped his zipper and pulled this weapon out with the points on it, and Fester blazed away for self-defense, Jed.
Okie bokey, Fanny. Fester Purdy.
It's about time.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Fester. Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty, Judge. Any man in Cupcake County would have took the law into his own hands under the conditions.
You're sure he pulled a dangerous weapon?
Sure as positive. We both reached for the ketchup.
You were eating Ozark caviar, too?
I was eating lemon pie a la mode. Always put ketchup on it to kill the taste of the ice cream.
Fanny says you laughed at him.
Couldn't help it, Jed. The dude was trying to eat the beans with his knife, and they kept dripping off. I like to buzz.
You grigged him proper, hey?
He was hot enough to fry. He reached into his coat. I thought he was unclasping a jackknife. But when I seen them points onto the blade, I blasted away.
What become of this weapon, Sheriff?
Well, it's right here, Judge. I marked it to Exhibit A.
Well, hand it here yonder.
Yes, sir.
Say, she comes up like a knife, don't she, and sprays off into point.
Ain't nothing you could do with a thing like that but stab.
It's a weapon, Judge. You got to turn me loose.
The law can't turn you loose, Fester, till the court finds out what this thing is.
Well, everybody in Cupcake County's seen it. Ain't man or boy knows what 'tis.
Maybe some stranger here in court might know. They're a stranger here in court?
Why, I'm a stranger, Judge.
You don't mind coming forward to the bench?
Okay, Judge.
You ain't a hillbilly.
No, I am a fuller brush man.
Do you know what this weapon is?
Well, let me see.
It ain't a fuller brush, is it?
Why, this is a collapsible fork.
A fork? What's a fork?
It's to eat with.
To eat with?
Yes.
There ain't nothing you can put onto a plate that a man can't get off with his knife.
Well, now, see here, you hillbillies eat everything with a knife, but people in cities use forks, too.
Then this thing ain't a weapon.
No, a man who can't eat beans with his knife is apt to starve to death down here. The murdered man probably knew that and carried his own fork with him.
Well, carry my nightmare.
What's your verdict, Judge?
Not guilty. If a man wants to start a newfangled fad in the Ozarks, he's got to take the consequences. Case dismissed.
So much for the Mighty Allen Artless, ladies and gentlemen. And now for the Mighty Allen mailbag. Two letters this week, an all-time high. The first is from a devoted fan who writes, "Dear Fred, why don't you do more dancing on your program like you did in your last picture with Ginger Rogers?"
Oh. Well, Fred, you don't suppose the writer got her Fred confused, do you? It means Fred Astaire, by any chance.
You know, Harry, that same thought flashed through my mind. Well, anyway, thanks for the confusion, devoted fan. Now, the other letter is from a lady in Philadelphia who wants to know what we mean on this program when we say pink toothbrush. Harry, perhaps you'd better answer that one.
Surely, Fred. A pink toothbrush, ladies and gentlemen, is a warning that your gums need attention. When you see that tinge of pink on your brush, see your dentist, for he's the man to interpret that warning for you. The chances are you aren't in for really serious gum trouble. It's usually a case of tender gums, robbed of exercise and stimulation by our modern soft, creamy food. If that is true in your case, your gums will respond to the healthful stimulation of Ipana toothpaste and massage. So do this.
Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
Because Ipana is the toothpaste designed to help give your gums the toning and stimulation they need to guard against serious gum trouble. And at the same time, make your teeth whiter and your smile brighter. So always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty. Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours are playing A Fine Romance, Jerome Kern's song from the hit picture Swing Time. Town Hall Amateur Contest. Here comes Fred leading a new group of hopeful amateurs out to the microphone. Let's start them off with a real Town Hall reception. Come on.
Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our amateurs compete for a first prize of $100 and a week's engagement at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore,
where our own Uncle Jim will appear with his Town Hall Amateur Unit starting this coming Friday. There will also be a second prize of $50 in cash. The winners, you folks here in the Town Hall will select your winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the two acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may make your final selections. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you the Hartford Trio. Solomon, how do you pronounce it?
Clyback.
Solomon Clyback, right. Eh? And Leo Cortez Raymond, is that right?
Ransom.
Ransom?
Yes.
Ransom, huh? You think we should hold him here? You can be held for that. But Cal, what is Cal?
Imperatrice.
I had a little trouble there, but I want to get it straightened out in case I ever go into the business, Solomon, of census taking. You've got to be quick on the trigger, as it were. You are the Hartford Trio, am I right?
That's right.
You come from Hartford, Connecticut?
That's right.
Hartford is the capital of Connecticut, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, as of September 30th.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mind if I ask you one or two questions, do you?
No.
You work down, you boys work down in Hartford?
Well, I'm in the dragon's business.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, that's really surprising. I thought that everyone that came from Hartford was in the insurance business.
Oh, no.
I had a sneaky... None of you boys are insurance men, by the way, are you? Those fellas are up to so many tricks, you know. I wouldn't be surprised to see Leo let go of that bass fiddle and try to get me with a 20-year endowment here, right in the middle of festivities. Well, what are you going to play for us tonight?
Well, we're going to give them Dinah.
You're going to give them Dinah,
that's
huh?
Right.
You're going to give us Dinah. Well, I think it's about time that Dinah was heard tonight. It's here it is, 20 to 10. But you go right ahead, boys.
All right, thank you.
Trio, ladies and gentlemen. And now may I present Miss Julia Carisi. Is that right, Julia?
That's right.
A little fared a little better with your name, didn't I? And you are from Port Chester, New York?
That's right.
Were you born in Port Chester?
Yes.
You were, really? You're
yes.
Still living there?
Yes.
Well, I think Port Chester is as nice as any place you could pick out to be born in, don't you?
Right.
It's handy to the water for the christening up there.
Very handy.
Say, it's a lot better than being born in some of those places around the country where they have those drought spells. You know, there are places there where they have children 18 years old who still don't know what you put in them. I read about a lady out in one of those little towns. You really shouldn't laugh at it, but this woman had two goldfish, and water was so scarce out there, she finally had to put casters on the goldfish so they could get around the bowl. It's really embarrassing. But Uncle Jim tells me that you are a popular singer, Julia. Is that right?
Well, I sang in the operettas in high school, and
I sang
in the community around.
You sang in the community?
Yes, I sang in the concert up at the park they usually give every week.
In Port Chester, huh?
Yes.
And you're still living there?
Yes.
Well, that's perfectly all right, then. I know. Well, Jim told me. I was only joking. I know you don't mind. Yes. What are you going to sing for us tonight?
I Can't Escape from You.
You can't? Well, all right. We'll see how it comes out. I Can't Escape from You. Thank you.
can't escape from you. I'm free as a bird in the tree. I'm even free to sail the southern seas. And yes, I can't escape from you. I could ride away and hide away where we were miles apart. But when I got there, I'd find you there, right in my heart. And so you see that I'm really not free. I'm so afraid you might escape from me. And yet, I can't escape from you.
Thank you very much. That was Miss Julia Carisi from Porchester, New York. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lou Peters from New York City. Am I right, Lou?
That's right.
You are a violinist.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, I... It's rather silly of me when you're holding the violin right here. But I didn't know. I thought it might be ornamental. You never can tell these days. Have you been playing the violin for many years?
Well, I studied for about 6 years.
You did study for 6 years? Yeah. Huh?
That's right.
I was wondering, the violin is a very difficult. I imagine you couldn't pick the violin up by yourself and master it without some sort of study, could you?
I suppose not.
I imagine it's a very difficult instrument. No, I mean that. There are certain instruments, like pianos. Some fellows just learn to play the piano without any lessons or study, but I think the violin is a little too complicated for that. I know a fellow who used to study the, he wanted, rather, to learn to play the chimes. And he wanted to teach himself and had all kinds of trouble. He had no place to practice. Every time he broke into a belfry to practice, people were hollering about it. It was all right when he got in there. He didn't have any trouble getting up into the belfry to practice the chimes, but when people heard the Trinity Church chimes playing chopsticks, they always suspected something. Well, what are you going to play on your violin, Louis?
When a gypsy makes his violin cry.
When a gypsy makes his violin cry. That isn't the reason that violinists put handkerchiefs in their collars, is it? So, when the violin breaks down, they're all prepared. All right, Louis, you go right ahead and thank you.
Thank you.
Blue Peter, ladies and gentlemen. Very good, too, Lou. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Harlem, Eddie and Charlie. Who is who? Who is Eddie and who is Charlie?
I'm Eddie.
You are Eddie and you are Charlie. You play the piano, Eddie?
Yeah.
And Charlie, you sing, huh?
Yes.
Have you studied the piano?
No, I studied music.
You've studied music, yeah, but not the piano, huh?
Yeah.
How did you do? How did you... How did you manage to escape probably the largest instrument that's made outside of those little things Mr. Wurlitzer whittles out when he's not doing anything else? But have you studied singing, Charlie?
No singing.
You haven't studied. I was wondering, because I got mixed up with Lou there talking about that man in the belfry, and what I was going to tell him and slip my mind at the moment was that a lot of the best talent today is really natural talent, not people who go away and study. It's just... I don't know whether you read or not in the paper a few weeks ago about that opera scout or somebody who found that woman with the beautiful voice running a fish market. Did you read that?
No,
I think she's going to sing an opera later this season. It's real, well, of course, working in a fish market, you might have music in your soul. But, the little thing Dr. Beebe thought up and sent in. And I believe this lady from the fish store is appearing in Eel Troubadour later in the season. But what are you boys going to sing and play for?
Going to do Hold That Leopard.
Hold That Leopard, eh? You don't want to change it back to Tiger for tonight,
yeah,
do you? Well, all right, you can go right over to the piano. The mic is set up over there. Hold That Tiger by Eddie and Charlie.
Bring it up, Bob Cooper. Take me down to the jungle, yeah.
That tiger, bend that tiger, shoot that tiger, get that tiger, bend that tiger, bend that tiger, shoot that tiger, where's that tiger, bend that tiger, shoot that tiger, get that tiger, where's that tiger, bend that tiger, shoot that tiger,
Eddie and Charlie, ladies and gentlemen, two boys from Harlem. Thank you. And now, from Richmond Hill, New York, Mr. Albert R. Nelson. Do you live in Richmond Hill, Mr. Nelson?
Well, I'm just staying there with my relatives. No, it's present.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where do you live?
In Washington, D.C., sir.
I didn't mean that I was sorry you were in Richmond. Well, that's life.
All right, sir.
You don't commute between Washington and New York, do you? I mean, you live in New York permanently?
No, I do not.
Oh, you live
in
Washington?
Living in Washington, and I'm staying with my relatives here.
Oh, I see.
Just temporarily.
There's so much traveling going on around these days, you know, that man who just flew around the world in 18 days, you know, and got back the other day.
Yes, I heard about that.
World's record, 18 days, he made a new record. I don't think, though, that he will be heard on the radio in the immediate future. There's some trouble about getting on the radio with a record, and I doubt if yeah, and that other man, Mr. Wiki, who sent his hat around the world, he was all tied up there in St. Louis. Very lucky. Did you read about him, the man whose hat got back, was gone for...
No, I don't believe I did, Mr. Allen.
Mr. Wiki? Well, his whole hat went around the world, and he just got it back last week. I went into a cafeteria yesterday, hung up my hat, and didn't get around to the salads when it was gone. Well, Mr. Nelson, what would you like to say?
But I'd like to sing a number entitled Nichevo by Manazuka, or Nothing Matters.
Nothing matters. I've often thought the same thing, but never thought to express it as Nichevo. Go right ahead.
Nichevo, Nichevo, Hans of Russia.
You. And what does the machine say, Harry?
You're all right here, Fred.
Thank you. The first prize, $100 and a week's engagement with Uncle Jim's amateur unit at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore starting on Friday, goes to Mr. Lou Peters, the violinist in New York City. The second prize, $50 in cash, goes to Eddie and Charlie. Thank you, boys and girls, for an excellent contest. Good night, and don't forget next Wednesday night for another hour of smiles in the old town hall, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fred, spelled Ipana, Alan, spelled Sal Hepatica, saying good night.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.